God is still in charge of my life. Yeah. God is still in charge.
Hallelujah. Haven't we had a time this morning? Amen. We have had a time this morning. God is so good. We normally we have the first lady will welcome our visitors, but she's not here, so I'm saying welcome, brother. We're very happy to have you, and amen. We're so glad that you stopped by to join us this morning, and your presence is felt, and we see that you have a lot to give in the way of worship, and we appreciate your spirit being in here this morning. We pray that something has been said or something has touched you in a way that will be healing for your spirit and your soul. Amen. God is good. His mercies are everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth has endured unto this generation. Somehow there are those who believe that there was truth that didn't make it through. But I think it made it through. Because the scripture cannot lie, it says that his truth endures to all generations. And then it says, for the promises to you and to your children and to your children's children and to all them that are afar off. And then it says that, and you who were sometimes far off, strangers to the commonwealth, whoo, of God, have been made to draw nigh. And so here we are close to Jesus. His truth has made it to our hearts. And whatever they shared in the beginning, you and I can also share today. How about that? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. God is good. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians. And since nobody came to Bible study Wednesday, we will preach on what we would have taught on Wednesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And I understand why. I'm not criticizing anybody. I understand we just didn't have it on Wednesday. And in this 12th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the Bible talks about those things which God has given to us so that we may prosper as a church. I wonder how many understand that it's hard to build a house unless you have the proper tools. Isn't that right? You can't build a house without a hammer. Hallelujah. You can't lay a foundation without a trowel, and you must have a level. You need certain things in order to build a house. And I think that some people don't understand that every tool has its place in the building process. And there are some things that you just can't do without certain tools. How many understand that? You know, if you don't have a level, the house will be crooked. You see where I'm coming from. There are certain things that are important to the building of any house. And God is building his house, and he has placed into our hands those things which we need to complete the building of the house. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that when you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, he says that when you were in the world and you were carried away by diverse idols, it was because you were led. You didn't realize it. You thought you were doing it on your own, but you were led. Isn't that the word that's there? It says, even as you were led. And just as you needed leading in the world, God says you need leading in the kingdom of God. There was a spirit leading you in the world, and there is a spirit that is leading you in the kingdom of God, and it is the Holy Spirit. But somebody says, how do I know when I'm being led by the Holy Spirit? When you were in the world, you were led by voices. When somebody said something to you that sounded good to you, you accepted it and you followed that advice. That's what leading is. Leading is getting you to follow advice. And so in the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and he's trying to get you to follow God's advice. Hallelujah. But how do I know when it is the leading of the Spirit? You've got to listen carefully to the words. He says, I want you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. In other words, nobody will speak against Jesus by the Holy Ghost. So I know for sure when they speak against the Son of God, that is not a spirit that I should follow. I don't care how nice you make it sound. I don't care how sentimental it may sound. I don't care if it makes you seem like a humanitarian or not. If they talk about Jesus, the origin of the words is not from the Holy Ghost. How many with me this morning? All right. He says that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. What does it mean to call Jesus accursed? Invalidating him, saying that he is insignificant, perverting his cause. He said he came into the world that the world through him might be saved. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. He came to be the Savior of the world. He came to deliver the world from sin. And when I hear a voice that encouraged me in the way of sin, then I know that that voice is not coming from God. God builds everything that he builds with his word. In the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Everything that he does by the word. And therefore, the word is a great tool. And when we hear any word, we must evaluate it in accordance with the word that God has already revealed unto us to see if there is a relationship between the words that we are hearing and the words that God has already spoken. Nobody can claim Jesus as Lord except the source of his testimony be the Holy Ghost. You think that's impossible? But the word says that it is impossible. How many seated here this morning can say Jesus is Lord? Jesus is Lord. Come on now. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. All praise and honor be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we know that those who are able to speak and to give confession to Jesus as being Lord, that they are led by the Holy Spirit. And so they are most likely builders along with God. You are helping to build the house of God by the word of your testimony. You overcome all of the devices of the enemy. Along with the blood of Jesus that is so precious to us, that saved us from our sins, and the testimony that we have, these are powerful weapons and powerful tools helping to build the kingdom of God. We can't build this house without the proper tools. And to help us in the building, the Bible tells us that God has given us gifts or tools to help build his house. And he says down in verse 4 that these gifts are varied. He said there are diversities of gifts, but it's all the same Spirit. I want you to understand that. There are different tools that we use to build a house, but it all has the same purpose and leading. We need a hammer. We need a saw. We need a level. But there's one purpose. The purpose is to build the house. And there's one architect for every house. Hallelujah. So if we look at a life in Christ as being similar to building a house, we can understand that we need a lot of tools to get the job done. We have some tools that are very, very essential, and then we have some other tools. Maybe you can get by with them, but it just makes it a whole lot easier to have. In our modern technology now, we don't have to get a string line. See, we got lasers now, you see. That's not essential, but what is essential is to have a tool that ensures that the house is level. Isn't that right? And so we find that God has cause the essential tools to survive unto this generation, because the promise was not only to them, but the promise is to us as well. And be sure that the gifts that God gave us are for the betterment of the kingdom of God and for the building of the household of God. And he says, that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are different administrations, but the same Lord. Same Lord, not a different one. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. Now, he obviously had to give this message because confusion was arising in the church. And as church folk do, not you all, we're talking about other church folk. We get used and accustomed to one way. And we get so used to one way that the one way becomes the only way. We see preachers who preach in a certain style and we get infatuated with that style. And then when somebody else comes along preaching in a different style, we say, oh, I don't think I like that. That I don't think God does that. What we need to understand is that there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Same Spirit. Diversities of operations, but it's the same Lord. The same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, it says, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Every man has been given a gift in the kingdom of God so that he might profit withal, it says. That means that what we have complements, or what you have complements what I have, and what I have complements what you have. So long as what I have and what you have come from the same source. Isn't that right? All right. If God has given me something, he has not given it to me for myself and for my selfish use. If he has given me something, he gave me something so that I could bless you and make your life more pleasant. God help me if I don't use what I have to make your life more pleasant. God help you if you don't use what you have to make my life more pleasant. For what I have been given so that the body of Christ might be more complete. You may not think it's so important. You may think of your gift as a small thing. You may think of yourself as insignificant, but I bet you can't count the number of cells in a body. For it says that we are the body of Christ. There are millions and billions of cells in our body, and each cell has a part to play. Even down to each nerve and each neuron has a part to play. Hallelujah. And so it is in the church that everybody has a part to play. If you'll just play with what you've been given. Don't bring your own stuff to the party. Bring what you have been given. You must bring the gift in order to have a meaningful place in the body of Christ. Don't bring your own tools to the construction site. Come to the construction site with the tools that God has given to you. Amen. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Some people know a lot, but they don't know what to do with what they know. That's really true. Somebody may have a word of wisdom that directs a person who has been given a lot but hasn't done anything with it because they haven't been given instructions as to how to use what they have. And God sends somebody with a word of knowledge. Somebody has something that they are not aware of. Some blessing that they're longing to receive, and they're about to give up hoping that it will ever come because nobody has told them that the blessing is on the way. Anybody like that in here? You're waiting. You've been waiting a long time for something. And it seems like it's not going to come, so you're ready to give up. But somebody will walk up to you and say, your blessing is on the way, and know it for sure. There are some mysteries and some puzzles in your life. That had a major impact on your life. Somebody did something that changed your life, and you just don't know who. But somebody has a word of knowledge that can set your mind at ease. The body is often, speaking of the body of Christ, is often in a state of confusion because there's not a sure word of knowledge concerning a certain thing. And when God saw the church and the needs that would be in the church, he made sure that he set some in the church with those gifts. Is that right? But how often do we receive with gladness the gifts that God has set in the church? When I was in the Methodist church, I tell you, there was some confusion going on, and the children, the youth, wanted to sing gospel songs. But in that church, the youth were only allowed to sing anthems. And they wanted something that they could more readily relate to. And they went to the pastor and they said, Pastor, we will sing the anthem, but we just want the chance to sing a few gospel songs. And the pastor at that time deferred to the church organist, who was much against gospel music, believe it or not. And refused to listen to the request of the children. I happened to be sitting there, recently saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, on fire for the Lord, and the Lord dropped these words in my spirit, and I stood up and I said to the pastor and to the organist, these children are at the most emotional time of their life, their emotions rule. If you don't let them give their emotions to Jesus, they will give their emotions to the devil. That was a word of wisdom. Well, they didn't give in, and all those kids left the church. Every one of them. We have to value the gifts that God puts in his assembly, because they're for the benefit of the body of Christ. And one thing we need to settle right away: if there's anything that comes up that doesn't benefit the body of Christ, you can really figure that's not God. Because what he does is always for the benefit of the body, that the body might profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. We have problems with the gifts because we're not used to the gifts, and we reject what we are not used to. But all these worketh that one self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Spirit controls the gifts. Sometimes we try to control the gifts. But the Bible says that the Spirit controls the gifts, and the Spirit decides when the gifts should be used. And he divides to every man as he will. He says severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And tag on to the end of that, one body. Christ is not 10 bodies. Christ is one body. And all that we have and all that we do should go to the building of the one body of Christ. The Bible says of him, in him was light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So therefore we know we cannot mix light and darkness into one body. Hallelujah. As far as I'm going with that. For by one Spirit, that same one Spirit, which governs all of the gifts, which also fellowships with our spirit. Say, for as the body of one and have many members, and all the members of that being one or one body, also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We must remember that what baptism is an entrance into the body of Christ. And it is the baptism of that one Spirit into the body of Christ. Some say, well, I was baptized in water and I was baptized in this. It is into Christ that you are baptized. You are not baptized into anything else except Jesus Christ. And when you are baptized into him, the into is a very important word, because it denotes the fact that you get to make up a part of his body. No matter how small, no matter how large, no matter how prominent, no matter how seemingly insignificant. And when you're in Christ, the Bible says if any man is in Christ, who has been baptized into Christ, he is a new creation. Because the old stuff can't live in Christ. How many know that? The old stuff can't live in the body of the Holy One. It's the new stuff. It's your born-again spirit that allows you to live in the Holy One, in the body of Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? The foot cannot declare that because it's not a hand, it's not of the body. A hammer can't say, because I'm not a saw, I'm not essential for the building of this one house. Do you understand? Hallelujah. And so we are obligated to honor the gifts that each man brings so long as they are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And how do we know when those gifts come from the Holy Spirit? It is by the testimony of those who exercise the gifts. It is because they declare that Jesus is Lord and they never speak against the holiness and the sanctification of life in Christ. It's not necessary for me to read all of the rest because the point is well taken. That what you have been given is vital to the body of Christ. The only thing that can cause a schism in the body is that if you don't use what you have been given. How many have something? I want to know. Let me see. You have something from the Lord? You got something. God has given you something. Hallelujah. Because he has given to every man, it says, every man, to profit. With all, you have something that is to be used in the body of Christ. And what we're seeing now, there's so many people who refuse to use what they have been given to glorify God. You might say, well, what I have isn't all that important. You don't know how important it is because you're not using it. But guess what? If God gave it to you, oh boy, it has great importance. I see so many people with gifts. We were talking about it this morning in new members class. And some people have gifts and they just won't use them. We have members of this congregation who have gifts. They just won't use them. There's spiritual gifts and there's talents. There's all kinds of things that we have from God that we just won't use for the benefit of building the body of Christ. And so, because we refuse to use what God has given us, we have trouble in our lives because we just won't surrender what we have gotten from God to the service of God. We have not been given the gift of prophecy to exalt prophets. We have not been given the gift of healing to exalt healers. We have not been given gifts of miracles to exalt miracle workers. But we've been given all of these gifts to exalt the one man, Jesus Christ. We often feel bad because we think that somebody's gift is better than our gift. And we don't understand why one has this gift and one has another. Friend of mine, as I mentioned earlier, lost his sister on Friday. I went to the hospital. I went to the hospital and I walked in there. I said, I'm just here to pray. And I prayed and I spoke to the person that was in the coma, praying that she could hear. Don't know if she could hear or not, but I spoke. And I said things to her like, I'll be back when you're sitting up in bed. Well, guess what? She went home. Hallelujah. And I started feeling down on myself. And I tried to figure out why it was that what I had wasn't enough to keep her alive. She needed a miracle. But then I remembered the scripture, how it challenges us to understand that everybody doesn't have the same gifts. So no point in me feeling bad, but I just did what I could do. Amen. Why do we feel bad? Oh, boy, I said, I wish I could play like Brother Ronnie. Hallelujah. He wish he could sing like me. Just kidding. He has his own style. No. And nobody should want to be anybody else. I'm telling you, I want you to understand this one thing here. You don't want to be anybody else but you. Because God made you you. And my prayer is for you that you will be the best you that God can ever make. And that means the born again you is the you that you need to be all the time, because it's only the born again you that is gifted. It is the born again you that is gifted. The natural you is of no value at all in the kingdom of God. And so I want you to see that you are unique, and you don't have to feel bad about not looking like, feeling like, or acting like anybody else, because you have been given your own special gift. Even the way you look is your gift, because you are recognizable as you. Huh? If they see you walking down the street, they don't have to see your face. You got a certain walk. That's you. We got a president, and he know how to strut. He can strut. Can he strut? That's him. Everything that you have is of value. Your walk, your talk. If you will just let the born again you walk, and the born again you talk, and the born again you sing, and the born again you play. If you will use the gifts of the Spirit to profit the body of Christ, if you will let him use you like you've never let him use you before, you'll find out that there's a whole lot of territory that you have not walked on yet because you haven't dared to step out on it. But I'm telling you, if you dare to step out on it and let the born again you do the walking and the born again you do the talking, let the Spirit of the living God lead you. There are places that you can go that you never dreamed of going before. Hallelujah. 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 We all have hopes and dreams. But you know one thing? I don't want my dreams to go outside of what God wants for me. Sometimes I get it mixed up. The Lord made me a promise back in the 1970s. He said this, I'll prosper you in the business world and in the material world. And not only that, there's work for you in my kingdom. So I haven't tried to do anything other than what God promised me that he was going to do in my life. But guess where I started? In that place where it says, seek ye first. He said, not only that, there's work for you in my kingdom, but I said, I'm going to start there. Hallelujah. I'm going to start there. And then all these other things will be added unto me. But I'm telling you, the time's coming, and you're going to see some stuff where God will give me what he promised me, and this time it's going to be on the other side of things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I want you to do what God would have you to do and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Or whatever special word God has for you, I want you to hold on to it, to believe it, receive it, and live it. Because if you receive it and sit on it, it won't do you any good. I want you to live it. I need for you to live what God has called you to do. Sister, you revealed this morning, you got something very powerful going right now. Hallelujah. And we're going to see how we can make this thing work in your life. Talking about daycare and things like that. Things that serve others, that magnify the love of God, that share the love with children. We're going to figure it out. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to pray about these things. Hallelujah. There's going to be some things that are going to change in here because we're not going to do it ourselves. We're going to let the gifts of the Spirit lead us into the anointing that we need for the things that are vital to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't look around. Don't acknowledge all the empty spaces. Gideon had too many. And we used to be full, but believe me, when these benches were full, we had too many. Because there was too much doubt. You see, one thing I did do the other day when I went to that hospital to pray, I came home and I continued to pray, and I said, Lord, keep the doubters out of that room. Because when the doubters show up, oh boy. I heard another preacher, Creflo Dollar, been talking this week on belief and unbelief. You know, we got a little of each. That's bad. We got a mixture there. We believe, but then we also unbelieve. We got to get rid of that unbelief. As the man told Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because it cancels out all your belief. So when you only believe like Alexis did, so she only believed. She had a little girl. She had somebody with childlike faith. They're believing with her, and she got what she needed. Hallelujah. She got it because, hallelujah. One other thing, and then we're going to let it go. When we fasted on Monday, I believe every situation, every transportation situation in this church was healed. Now, everyone haven't showed up, but everyone was healed. Of course, you know, I'm driving my son's car today. I know his was healed because I spent the money to heal it. I know he won't recognize it when he gets back. But But what I'm saying is that every bit of our transportation problem was healed this week. And so what I want you to do is just continue to thank God for healing your transportation needs of this congregation. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for this congregation, because there are some who have no transportation and they need transportation, but believe me, it's on the way. It's on the way. I'm going to say it again. It's on the way. Hallelujah. And God is good. Use what you have to bless somebody. Get that horn out of the closet. We got two saxophones in here. I ain't heard one of them yet. Well, I did hear one once. God wants to bless you, and he will if you will let him. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for blessing us. We thank you for gifts of the Spirit. Although we just touched on it this morning, as we begin to study these things, we know that you will reveal unto us marvelous things. Lord, we pray for this church, and we pray for all those who are here this morning. We pray for those who came, and we pray for those who would have been here but were not able to come today. We pray for all those who are on the way. We pray for all of the members who are coming to this church. We pray that all of their needs will be met. We pray that you will heal every disease. We pray that you will heal every heart and every mind. That you will give everyone a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. That you will fix every broken thing in their lives. Father, there are many things broken in Love United, but we declare them healed and fixed in the name of Jesus. For you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We know that by your stripes we were healed. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. And we ask this morning that you touch the hearts of everyone that is here, that is listening, that is praying, that is praising, that is desiring, that is groaning in the Spirit for that one miracle that you're about to burst forth in their lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for that one miracle that you're birthing forth in their lives. In the name of Jesus, bring it, Lord, so that the body of Christ might be magnified. Bring it not just for them, but for all of those, so that everyone can benefit from their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.